Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
This morning. Take your Bibles, open them with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. We that are second generation Christians and that have been given the inheritance that we have been given, not to say that we didn't have to make our own choice about receiving the gift that Christ provided for us. It's a whole lot easier when you have an example of that. And God requires really so much more from us. And I'm looking around the room this morning at a lot of second, third generation Christians. And we're living in an evil day, but folks, we've been given something that is just as powerful as it's ever been, the gospel. And so let's carry it forward to the next generation, and would to God that our children would be able to stand someday in a church somewhere and sing the exact same song. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 for our text this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I want you to notice that phrase, the mystery of iniquity. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, What One Mystery Has to Do with Another. What one mystery has to do with another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for what we've heard and what our hearts have experienced already. Thank you so much for the promises of God that are in you true and in you, amen. Every single one. And so I thank you, Lord, that we that have been born into the family of God, we do have a testimony this morning. And it's a true testimony. And I pray that we'll be desirous and, Lord, encouraged to be able to share that, not just with our words, but most importantly, with our lives. The great things that you've done since we've been born again. And Lord, I pray that you'll encourage us this morning, each and every one as believers, about the mysterious things of God. Lord, we would, Lord, be encouraged to be able to tell the things that we do know. There's so many things that we don't know. But Lord, even in those things, we see the greatness of our God. So help us to be able to pull these things together this morning and see how that even the mystery of iniquity, Lord, works together with the mystery of your glory. And I pray if there is somebody here in this place that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that before the day is done, Lord, they would also begin to have a real testimony about what God can do in a life that is bound by sin. So help us today, Father, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who doesn't enjoy a good mystery, right? I must admit that I watched more than I read growing up. But I can still remember folks talking about the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. which both have excellent reviews on Amazon. Maybe I'll get around to reading those someday. Then there are more modern mysteries like Tom Clancy and his battle and spy novels. Some of these books have been converted to film as a result of their popularity. I'm no expert on the matter, but a good mystery is balanced in that it keeps us guessing while also keeping us engaged. We're searching for clues by which to solve the mystery, but we don't lose interest along the way. As a matter of fact, the Bible is the original mystery novel that, like so many great accounts, is based in truth. Even better, it is truth. And many have attempted to convert it to film, and many, if not all, other books have come as a result of it. Like many of these series of books, it also contains 66 books within one. I'm so pleased. I asked one of the young men that we've been bringing on the bus and or on the van in recent days about the books of the Bible. He's been involved in my wife's Wednesday night class, and he was able to start reciting and really did a good job. I think he got all the way through to Job there on the van this morning. He said, "That's all I've learned so far." But that's better than some. But 66 books, each with its own unique theme. Still, there is really only one great theme and thesis involving, ultimately, a love story, no matter how its enemies attempt to attack it as hate speech. And we are living in a day where even certain passages of Scripture, it doesn't fly by me the month that we're in right now, that even if you just simply read a certain passage of Scripture, that there are places around the world where it has been put on the books in law. That is hate speech. But really what this book is all about is love. It's a love story, really. And if there is any hate at all, it is hatred for the things that take us away, that draw us away from that love, that prevent us from ever coming to such love. It is the mystery upon which my mind has been fixated for almost 35 years, and upon which I've been focused again over the last several days, the mystery of iniquity. The word there means lawlessness, complete lawlessness. The mystery of iniquity, as God calls it, is due for a revealing. But it's only a part of that greatest mystery. Actually, it supports the great mystery of all time. Now, what I want you to do this morning is consider with me the connection in these mysterious things. Number one, I want you to notice the mysterious glory. The mysterious glory. Notice, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read in our text, chapter number 2, a few verses there. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." Now, may I just say this morning, that if somebody glories in us, if somebody has a reason, for a lack of better words, to brag about us this morning, we must understand that in and of ourselves, there's nothing glorious about a single one of us. But when we become connected to that mysterious glory that God alone has, then we can partake in that same glory. Verse number 5. Verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Again, these folks were not worthy, but he said that you might be counted worthy. None of us are glorious. None of us are worthy of any recognition, of any place or position of blessing, which is just a place of exceeding or excelling. None of us are worthy of that, but God says we can be counted worthy as we partake of God's glory and we live our lives in the way that He's called us to live them. Seeing it as a righteous thing, verse number 6, seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, to them that persecute you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, notice this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, notice this, and from the glory of His power. We're living in a day where we can at least recognize simply by looking at the sky, for instance, the mysterious glory of God. How in the world could someone be so powerful and so mighty that they can create everything that we see around us? That they can create, that He can create the elements of everything that we have. Brother Dice mentioned the way that the auditorium is looking. Isn't it a blessing that we can go and get some new materials here and there and spruce things up? Those materials come from an almighty God. The Bible says those that are punished with everlasting destruction will be punished from His presence and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this mysterious glory that only God possesses, and we cannot begin to ultimately find out all the different mysterious ways of His glory. Look, if you would, for a moment at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. The mysterious glory. So many questions about God. How is it that He is eternal? I mean, how is it that He has absolutely no beginning? Now, the ending part, we can sort of fathom that. But all of us having a specific beginning, we cannot completely fathom how God never had a beginning. It's part of His mysterious glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men, folks, is a very limited wisdom at best, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those that are complete in Christ, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, For had they known it, notice this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have understood the mysterious, glorious wisdom of Almighty God, that He knows everything, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they realized that God knew their heart and the motive of what drove them to crucify Him. They would not have crucified Him. We see in our text passage the everlasting nature and severity of the punishment. For how can one ignore such glory without choosing to do so? For one to go through this life and behold the mysteries of the world, all over the planet there are things, and even within our own bodies, scientists and doctors still don't understand so much. So many questions. What is it? It's mysterious glory that only God possesses. Look at one other passage, Colossians chapter number 1. I'm talking about the mysterious glory that only God possesses. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 21. Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Notice this, "even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." And throughout the history of mankind, God has hidden His glory in many different ways, and little by little has displayed more and more, and has allowed mankind to discover more and more of the glories of God. And yet, there's still so much that mankind has not discovered. We find out in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22 and Psalm chapter number 18 that His way is perfect. Everything that ultimately flows out from God is perfect. It's completely righteous. It's completely holy. It's completely done in a way that is totally right. His way is perfect. His ways, we find out in the book of Romans chapter 11, are past finding out. That means not only the things that flow out from God, everything that flows out, but even the ways in which He works in the hearts and in the lives of mankind, all those ways are past finding out. I spoke with somebody yesterday who was talking about this, and they basically said that there are different ways to be able to get to God. And I said to them, well, in a way, I would agree with that, in that every road must lead to the way, Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we don't all have the same testimony because we're not all brought up the same way. But all of those ways must lead to His way. And His ways are past finding out. I love to hear different salvation testimonies of how people got born again and what God did in their lives. People in foreign countries that believed in completely false religions and didn't even have a Bible at the beginning, but because the ways of God are past finding out, they could be led to the way, the truth, and the life. Job chapter 11, verse 7, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Job's friend Zophar, his words are so poignant. And mankind would want to search and search and search and say, if I could completely understand God, then I would come to Him. But if you did, then where would the faith be? But God has displayed enough of His glory that we can come to Him by faith and partake in that glory. So there's mysterious glory. Then number two, there's a mysterious gospel. A mysterious gospel. Back in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read these words, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look over at chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I'm talking about a mysterious gospel this morning. Gospel is good news because with the prospect of the impossibility of our saving ourselves, the impossibility of us truly understanding the nature of God because we're human and He's divine, God Himself not only supplied the way, but He became the way to Himself. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 8, Abraham said about his son Isaac and that sacrifice that was so desperately needed, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. It's a mysterious thing. How in the world could God bridge the gap in such a way? We that are sinners separated from God, He who is completely righteous, separated from us, and yet God could step into that chasm Himself and provide the way to bring us back together. It's a mystery. It's not anything that we can completely understand or explain. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and verse number 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Are you like me, Christian friend? You go out, you might get involved in a spiritual or a theological type conversation and begin to try to explain the gospel. And I understand it's pretty simple, so simple that a child that's 6 years old can understand it the way that I did. But do you ever think to yourself, boy, I can't totally explain this. It's hard to totally make sense logically. And doesn't God tell us that the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned? It's a mysterious gospel that comes out of a mysterious glory. But then what we read about this morning is a mysterious godlessness. I want you to look there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. Let's read a little bit about this man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, or destruction, or judgment, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is a specific individual. Some believe this is Satan himself incarnate. That Satan himself will somehow take on a body. And when the Bible says the mystery of iniquity, that word iniquity there means lawlessness. It's talking about complete and utter lawlessness. It's a mysterious thing because we've seen some lawlessness. We see it on the news. We see it on TV sometimes. And it seems to be pretty bad. But can you even imagine, can I even imagine total and complete and utter lawlessness? That's what this man represents. And the question that comes to my mind as I consider this mystery is, how could anyone oppose perfect love? How could Satan be so acquainted with God and oppose God's perfect love? How could he be somewhat acquainted? I don't know how acquainted, but somewhat acquainted with what 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 says. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Notice that, seen of angels. How could Satan have seen the true God and been close to him the way that he was and turn his back on God? How could you and I, in a lawless society, and even within ourselves, we experience lawlessness because of our sin nature. How could we turn our back on the love of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How could we turn our back on it? It really is a mystery. Look at Jude chapter 1, only has one chapter. But Jude verses 14 and 15, notice that, Jude verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. How could we experience the mysterious glories of Almighty God? How could somebody experience and hear the gospel and know that God made a way that we could be reconciled to Him? Take away what others have done. Take away blaming what this person did or what that person did. Think about what God has done in perfection. How could we turn our backs on His love? It's a mysterious thing. Well, I'll have you to know about God that He is not mocked. He has provided a way for all to be able to come to Him. Acts chapter 17, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we are all the offspring, we're just not all children of God. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, meaning He overlooked it. He understands that there have been times where folks maybe have not had as much truth, and so God has sort of given them more grace and more patience. But the Bible says, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." God in his glory has given us the gospel so that we need not choose godlessness. We need not choose to side with the mystery of iniquity, that man of sin, the son of perdition. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've got a choice to make today. You can either side with the mysterious glory and the mysterious gospel, or you can choose to oppose the love of God and go your own way. Romans chapter 16, verse number 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery." Notice that. The revelation of the mystery, "which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." You see, this glory, this iniquity that we read about, it is a very mysterious thing. There's a lot of questions about it. But this mystery feeds into the great mystery. And that's the mystery of Almighty God. That there would be an opposite side, an opposing side, and that God in His wisdom would allow us to be able to make a decision. You can go completely away from me, or you can come to me. That's the decision that we have. Each and every one, young and old. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll close here today. What one mystery has to do with another, this mystery of iniquity is a hard thing to understand. But what we need to realize is that God uses even that mysterious iniquity to ultimately glorify Himself, to point to the wonder of Him, to point to God's goodness in the gospel, the good news that He's provided for us. That mystery feeds in to the greatest mystery. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, if it remains mysterious, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now notice this. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Notice, in the face of Jesus Christ. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Notice, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And what has God done in Jesus? He has made it so that the mysterious things, the most important mysterious things, are revealed to every single one of us that have ever drawn breath in this world that we can understand enough to know of God's glory and of God's goodness in sending Jesus to die for our sin, so that we can oppose that mystery of iniquity, that godlessness, and come to Him. A songwriter by the name of Joy Williams wrote this: "It's still a mystery to me that the hands of God could be so small, how tiny fingers reaching in the night were the very hands that measured the sky. It's still a mystery to me how His infant eyes have seen the dawn of time, how His ears have heard an angel's symphony, but still Mary had to rock her Savior to sleep. She wrote, 'Hallelujah, hallelujah, heaven's love reaching down to save the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Son of God, servant King, here with us. Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem, a baby born to save the souls of men.'" Yes, this matter of the mystery of iniquity, it is, it's a very powerful thing. How could there be utter lawlessness? But the beauty of it is that in the great mystery, God provided a way. He knew all about the lawlessness. He knew all about the sin. And in God's great wisdom, a mystery of glory we cannot understand, He provided the gospel, the good news, so that we might have eternal life. I wonder, have you received the gift that Christ purchased on your behalf this morning? I wonder if you've recognized that you have a decision in the matter. You can choose to love the one that loved you from eternity, or you can choose to oppose Him. And if you choose to love Him and you've never chosen that love before, you can choose it today. He'll allow you to receive of His love today and be born again into His family. You can partake in the mystery of glory and the mystery of the gospel. Christian, are you here today and life seems hard? I know it does. Life is just hard by itself at times, but being a believer adds another level to it because there's this battle that goes on. Could I encourage you today that the mystery of iniquity will one day be revealed and will be dealt with? God is going to have the last word. God is going to have the victory. You and I that have partaken of that mystery, we're on the winning side. Don't be troubled. Don't be perplexed. Don't be distressed. I know those things come into our lives, but let's be reminded about that great mystery that although so many elements are still unsolved, the greatest element has been solved in our lives. And we have the truth. So that mystery of iniquity, it is very powerful, but it only is a part of the great mystery of God. And I plead with you today, if you've never partaken of the gift that Christ purchased on your behalf, that you'll do it today. I plead with us as believers that we might maintain the course that God has set for us and ultimately participate in the great glory that only God has. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed? What one mystery has to do with another. You say, I sense within myself the power of Satan, the power of sin. And all of us have at one time experienced that same power. We understand, we know. But I want you to know that God is so much greater. Whatever sin it is in our lives that we think we cannot get away from, that we cannot get out of the grasp of, God has done exactly what's needed to free us. He loves us. He wants to have an eternal relationship with us. But we've got a choice to make in the matter. And I wonder this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there is somebody here in our midst who would say, Pastor Taylor, I've never partaken of the gift. That gift so evident in the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. That He would provide a way that I could have a relationship with God. I don't know that I've ever received that gift and been born into the family of God, but I'm concerned about it this morning, preacher. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? You just slip your hand right up, put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure that I've ever received that gift that God has provided on my behalf in Jesus, but I'm concerned about it this morning, preacher. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Is there one? I see that hand. I'll pray for you. Is there another that will join that one? Preacher, I'm not sure I've ever received that gift of eternal life that God has provided on my behalf, but I'm concerned about it. Would you join the one that's already lifted a hand? Pray for me. Pray for me. Let me ask this question. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Maybe you're here today as a believer and times get tough. Maybe you've gotten distracted along the way. Could I invite you to look again into the great mysteries of our God, into His glory, into the gospel, and how that He allowed the gospel to come into our lives and save us and give us a course that is glorious. You would say, I'm a believer today, but maybe you've lost sight somewhat of the glory of God. And you'd say, God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me, preacher. God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are others that will join these that have raised a hand already. God has spoken to my heart this morning. We're going to pray and then we'll have a time of invitation. We want to invite you, if you're not born again, if you don't know for sure that you're saved this morning, that you have a home in heaven, we can show you from the Bible how you can know that for sure today. We want to invite you to come and let somebody take you into a private room and show you exactly what God says from His Word about knowing that you've been born again into God's family. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that has been born again, but you need to be baptized in deep water. Since you've been born again, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We invite you to come. We'll talk to you about that from the Bible. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, but you're not a member of a good local New Testament church. If that's your need this morning, we'd love to talk to you about that from the Scriptures. We invite you to come. Maybe we just need to come and rededicate ourselves and just tell God again how great and how wonderful and how awesome He is. Decide we're going to be that testimony, that witness that He's called for us to be. Whatever your need is this morning, we would invite you to come. Maybe you just need to come and talk to the Lord today. We would invite you to do that as well, right after I pray. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your glory. Thank You for letting us as feeble, finite man to be able to partake, to be able to see, to be able to understand even some of it. Thank You, Lord, for reaching down to us in Jesus, that we might ultimately have a relationship with You and one day understand all the mysteries, all the things will be revealed. Thank You, Lord, that there's a way that we can escape that mystery of iniquity. We don't have to be in its grips. We can come to You. And I pray, Lord, for the one that lifted a hand concerning salvation. Help them to realize the great love of God for them. And Lord, help them be willing to turn from sin and come to You and receive that only gift that would suffice for eternal life. Help them to be willing to come today. For believers, Lord, as You've spoken to our hearts, whatever the need may be, I pray that we'll come. I pray that we'll make decisions that need to be made. We love You today and thank You so much for all that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.